This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. So what should Massachusetts Republicans do? Understandably, they're asking lots of questions. Among them, how do they find their way out of the political wilderness and back to relevance? It's hardly news that the Bay State GOP is a small minority party in a very blue state, but last week delivered a hard punch to the gut and the latest wake-up call.
On Election Day, voters gave the boot to Scott Brown, a relatively moderate and popular U.S. senator. In the 6th Congressional District, they also rejected the socially moderate Richard Tesei in favor of the scandal-tainted 8-term Democrat incumbent John Tierney. The tiny group of Republicans on Beacon Hill also lost seats and became even tinier.
Come January, Democrats in the state legislature will outnumber Republicans 166 to 34. So there's a lot of soul searching and debate within the state's minority party, and it begins in a big way tonight. That's when the state GOP committee will decide whether or not it should adopt the party's national platform.
Now, moderate Republicans say no, because it's wildly out of step with most Massachusetts voters. More conservatives say yes, because it would help build an identity that contrasts with local Democrats. So what do you think? And looking beyond tonight, what's your view of how Massachusetts Republicans recover from last week's drubbing at the polls? Move to the center or move harder to the right? How about establishing a new party altogether, a Northeastern Republican Party? You can call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. And joining us now is Richard Tesei. He's a Republican who served 26 years in the state legislature and came within one point of being elected to Congress last week. And Richard, good to have you back on Radio Boston. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for asking.
Also joining us in the studio is Stephen Aylward. He's president of the Massachusetts Republican Assembly, a group that describes itself as the Republican wing of the Republican Party. He also ran for the state Senate and lost last week, capturing just 24% of the vote. He's from Watertown. Stephen Aylward, welcome to Radio Boston. Great to have you.
Thank you, Anthony. And just one clarification.
Sure.
I'm the vice president of the Massachusetts
vice
Republican
president.
Assembly.
Thank you for that clarification. My apologies. Let's start with this question about the national GOP platform. Among other things, this document calls for a complete ban on abortions without exceptions for rape, incest, or even if the life of the mother is threatened. It opposes any federal budget deal that includes new taxes. Richard Tesei, let me start with you. Should the state GOP adopt this platform?
I think it would be a big mistake for the Republican Party here in Massachusetts to adopt the platform. And, you know, clearly, I think most voters view the national Republican platform as out of sync. And, you know, in the marketplace, you know, and that's what politics is, you know, here in Massachusetts, you don't have a majority of people in the state who believe, you know, in some of the platform issues. You know, you also, one of the other issues that you didn't mention was, you know, the fact that the national platform disavows gay marriage. And here in Massachusetts, we've had that for 8 years. And I think part of our problem here in Massachusetts is that a lot of voters look at the national platform, particularly with regards to abortion and gay rights, and, you know, decide that this isn't a party that they can, you know, and party candidates that they can support. And I think that, you know, going back to our roots as a party, you know, as far as civil rights go, is really important. We've always been a party that's promoted civil rights, and we should certainly be doing that right now. And we've always been a party that is, you know, has advocated for individual responsibility rather than the government coming in and telling people what they can do and what they can't do. And we should follow that traditional party, you know, platform. As far as dealing with abortion.
All right, Richard, let me go over to Stephen Aylward. Stephen, what does the sort of Republican wing of the Republican Party here in Massachusetts say about that?
Well, I think you would have to look at the results of elections. For instance, Charlie Baker lost when I think we all thought he was going to win. Kerry Healy as well. And Richard, although you put up a good fight, you lost as well. And we have consistently seen moderates and the liberal wing of our party put up candidates and tell us that those are the ones that can win because the voters, they appeal to the voters, and that doesn't appear to be the case. The conservatives in the House that won were, in fact, conservatives. A lot of the state House people are, in fact, conservatives. And even with Romney, we saw that We had 3 million less Republican voters come out across the nation, I think, and I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that they just didn't think that Mitt was consistent in his views, his consistent social views.
So, Stephen, you would say that the state GOP should adopt this national GOP platform, even though it contains planks that a lot of folks in Massachusetts, as Richard suggested, seem to be out of sync with.
Well, tonight when we vote, and I am on the state committee, as you know, what we're going to do is I think we're going to temper the language. We've been trying to work across the aisle with some of the more moderate people. And what we're going to do is we're just going to recommend to the platform committee, which comes together before the state convention, we're going to recommend to them that they strongly consider some of those more important tenets in the RNC platform. So they won't necessarily, I don't think...
So they won't adopt it lock, stock, and barrel?
No, and we couldn't. There's too many issues in there that really don't apply at the state level. And there may be, as you say, some things that really have to be tweaked.
But go to Richard's point, and in fact, the Boston Globe editorialized this morning around this idea of the New England Republican Party and how it needs to reconnect with its libertarian roots, including fiscal conservatism, progressive stances on racial issues and social tolerance. You know, that sounds like advice that might make sense. I mean, given where the state GOP has come over the last 10 years, I mean, we've just seen a shrinking of the party and a shrinking of its relevance, basically.
And I think our move to the left was the precursor
That's the
of
reason.
A shrinking as a party. And when we start taking political advice from the Boston Globe, heaven help us.
Well, Richard, to say, let me come to you. I mean, Stephen does raise a point that you are a moderate Republican. You're gay and you're out and you're liberal on social issues. Scott Brown, a moderate. You guys both lost. And you lost against a Democrat who was so vulnerable, John Tierney.
Well, I'll tell you what I found during my campaign, and I'm sure Scott found the same thing, is that there were, you know, the people in Massachusetts pretty much are libertarian on social issues and fiscally conservative. And, you know, and that's pretty fertile territory for Republicans to be running. We do well when we nominate candidates. You know, Bill Weld, Paul Cellucci, Aaron Mitt Romney, when he ran the first time for governor, all sort of used that formula in order to win. And, you know, when you're out in the campaign trail, and I just went through it, you know, there are a lot of people who share that philosophy but do not want to elect Republicans, at least on the federal level, to go down to Washington. Scott's problem was not Scott Brown or the fact that people didn't like him or think he did a good job. It was, you know, I really think Scott's issue really was that, you know, people didn't want to send him down to Washington to be part of a Republican majority in the Senate. And a lot of people said that to me in my House race. And the reason why is because the brand nationally really does hurt local candidates here.
So does that mean that you need to somehow find a way to disconnect Massachusetts Republicans from that national brand?
And well, I think that we've been successful in the past in the state when we do have our own brand, and that is the traditional, you know, Republican brand that, you know, of, you know, again, being, you know, libertarian on social issues and being fiscally conservative. And those are the things that I think really work well. And I would say that I think it's important for the Republican Party to have all different voices and different views and different opinions within our party here in the state. We need to be a party, you know, that grows. And
the big tent. Bill Weld used to talk about the big tent. Stephen Aylward, does that make sense, this idea of, I mean, it seems like a party that embraces as many different views as possible is a party that's going to attract more supporters.
Yeah, and we do have a big tent. The problem is we have an argument going on inside our party right now, as every party does. But the argument going on is, should we move more to the right or should we move more to the left? Our problem right now is that we have to stop blaming each other and we have to work together. And I know that sounds like political rhetoric, and I'm not real good at that, but we do have to find a way to come together.
Well, let me put you on the spot, and I don't necessarily mean to make you two adversaries with each other live on our program, but Stephen, is Richard to say the future of the Republican Party? Moderate voice, fiscal conservative?
Richard, let me ask you a question. Did you vote against the no tax pledge, I believe?
I didn't sign the Nordquist tax pledge because I favored reducing loopholes and closing up loopholes and not necessarily having corresponding tax decreases if you got rid of a loophole.
Yeah, no, and I understand and I appreciate your honesty. I mean, I think I would just keep coming back to the fact that we had great success with even conservatives winning. As you know, Ronald Reagan won the state twice. And I will tell you, because we run away from some of these social issues and even property rights issues and things of that nature, we leave ourselves in a position where we can't define the other candidate. And let me give you an example of that. We're always getting defined. Richard, I know in your campaign you're frustrated. You're being defined the wrong way. I know that Scott Brown was being defined as anti-woman, and it was just wrong. But President Obama, when he was in the Illinois state legislature, four times voted against the act that would protect an unborn baby, a baby who had survived an abortion, I'm sorry. He voted only on his own four times to put that baby in a closet and let it die. But because we're so opposed to talking about abortion and saying that we stand for life, Mitt Romney didn't bring that up. Now, I would have defined Obama as what I think is a vile human being for that vote, okay? But we didn't do it. We run away. So we let ourselves be defined as the anti-woman, the anti-gay, whatever.
But it is easy to define Republicans in a negative way when we're passing platform provisions that say that you're going to tell a woman she can't have an abortion even if it's an instance of rape or incest. And to a lot of women who probably agree with us on all the fiscal issues, that's a non-starter, and that's something that they'll put blinders up and say, you know what, this isn't going to be a party that I want to be a part of, number one. And number two, when Republican candidates are running, particularly for statewide office, it's a disqualifier, even if they agree with you on other issues. And, you know, I think that, I think it would be a tremendous mistake for the Republican State Committee tonight to adopt that federal national platform. It would do us a lot of damage. And on the other issue, if I could just go back,
sure, go ahead, Richard,
to the gay rights issue. You know, we here in Massachusetts 8 years ago passed gay marriage, and for the most part, you know, everybody, I think it's a settled issue here in Massachusetts. To bring that up as a party right now, and to go on record against it, I think would be a huge mistake, you know, because demographically, most young people in particular, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, conservative or liberal, think that everybody should be treated equally and fairly under the law. And for the Republican Party here in Massachusetts to take a huge step backwards, you know, that you're really dooming us for, you know, an awful long time to come. So,
and Stephen,
Can I just...
go ahead, respond to that, Stephen.
I mean, we never took a vote on gay marriage. We were never allowed that. So we don't really know for sure how that would go down if it came to a vote. But I'm going to give you this, and I agree. I think that's why we're making the recommendation that we're making, and we're allowing the platform committee to use its judgment. Because you may well be right in that regard. But I still think that there's other issues in that platform, including gun rights and property rights especially, that really are good for Massachusetts. And we have to be promoters of something that's different from the Democrats.
And you know what? I agree with that. And
Richard, just wrap this point up because I really want to get some callers into this conversation. Yeah. But go ahead.
Well, the thing that all unifies us as Republicans is the fact that we don't want the government to grow. You know, we want individuals to make decisions. We all believe in strong and sound fiscal policy. You know, we believe in lower taxes. We believe in, you know, in being a good steward of the public finances. And those are things that we can all work together on. We all believe in property rights. You know, there are a lot of things. There are more things that keep us together rather than divide us. And I think, you know, we do need a platform that brings, you know, that really centers on those issues and has everybody working, you know, towards a common goal.
Listeners, we're talking about the future of the Republican Party here in Massachusetts. You can join the conversation, 800-423-8255. Let's go to Mark, who's calling from Boxford. Hi, Mark, you're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon to all three of you. I just wanted to kind of... acknowledge what Mr. Tsai has been saying. I'm probably the most liberal person I know. My father is, I guess, what you'd call a New Deal Democrat, born in the late 20s. And in talking to people after the election, it seemed pretty clear that a lot of people wanted Scott Brown but were afraid of what the Republican majority in the Senate would do and voted against him for that reason alone. And... the people who voted against Richard Tesei, the people I spoke to, had been convinced by the attack ad that painted him as, you know, a Tea Party radical, for lack of a better expression.
So Mark, just to...
I made the argument that Mr. Tesei wasn't beaten by John Tierney, but was beaten by Mr. Fishman.
Was beaten by?
By the third-party candidate, Mr. Fishman, who took 5% of the vote.
I
have to believe...
But it also seems like you're suggesting that he was also beaten by identification with the National Party, and that seems to be...
That was a problem I had during the campaign. I mean, I was probably the only candidate in the country who supported gay marriage, who was pro-choice, who didn't sign that Nordquist pledge to be, you know, being painted as a Tea Party extremist Republican. And, you know, and again, that's what, and it's a good example of how the national, the national branding of the party affects people here in Massachusetts. And, you know, again, in my race, I had a Libertarian who garnered almost 4.6% of the vote and probably did make the difference in the election. And a lot of those folks were people who normally would have voted for, I think, you know, on the Republican side of the aisle.
Mark, thanks for that call. Let's go to Missy, who's calling from Pelham, New Hampshire. Hi, Missy, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say that the Republican, the platform itself, the national platform, coming from a woman's standpoint, is a very extreme platform. It terrifies us, actually. And so regardless of what you do locally, I really hate to say this, but you're going to be judged based on that national platform. And if my advice would be to try to put some heads together to remove those extreme things from the national platform, you'd have a far better chance of getting your local people elected that way. Because right now, it's a very, very scary prospect when we take a look as a woman, as women, when we look at that platform, we're terrified.
Missy, thanks so much for the call. And Stephen, let me come to you on Missy's point. I mean, the national vote, 55% of women voted for Obama, 60% of the youth vote, 70% of the Latino vote, 77% of the gay vote, 93% of the black vote. I mean, so these constituencies are all finding a home in the modern Democratic Party, and that seems to be the big story of this past election, rather than, you know, Bill O'Reilly's point that the Democrats give away more stuff. So, I mean, this is all leading to my question, isn't that what sort of state Republicans need to do, is to reach out to voters like Missy and make them feel like they can be included in this party?
Absolutely. And we have no message for those people. We need to grow the party and touch all those demographics. Now, I saw a bumper sticker with a girl driving the car that said, "Another slut for Obama." I don't think we're ever going to get that vote. But I think there's places we can go where we can get those votes. We went into Roxbury, into Dudley Station, and had a standout for Scott Brown. And we were glad to do it. We got a great reception. But what everybody said to us is, Scott has to come down here. We need to see Scott. He needs to talk to us. We've avoided the inner cities too much. We've let our children be indoctrinated in schools, and we haven't gone into those schools, and we haven't stood up for what we really believe in, and we need to do a better job. And I think that's something Richard and I can both agree on. We need to do a much better job in the Mass GOP of reaching out to all different groups, because the demographic is changing, and we've been more than slow to reach out to those demographics.
Molly Doherty writes on Facebook, individual Republicans are being punished for the sins of the party as a whole. The party has become too radicalized, too white, too right wing. Let's go to Russ, who's calling from Brighton. Hi, Russ, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon. First of all, you know, the one thing I'd like to say to Richard Tesei is that, by the way, I like him and I wish he had gotten elected. But anyways, be that all as it may, you know, when Republicans try to act like Democrats, they always lose. And unfortunately, the leadership in the Republican Party, we've allowed ourselves to be drawn into narrow-minded issues. And what the Republican Party really stands for is fiscal responsibility. And that's what the Democratic Party is lacking. And that is the message. Now, when you talk about women's issues, most of the women that I know are more interested in job security and the security of their families than they are about some narrow-minded women's issues. So that, to me, it really, when you think about it, it's disgusting to think that women only think of birth control pills and abortion.
But Russ, I want to come back to you and sort of push back on this issue. So fine, fiscal issues. values, agreed. Let's say if the party mainly stood for that. So are you saying the Republicans should be agnostic on these divisive social issues, or liberal, or just overlook them altogether?
Well, first of all, it's a simple answer. It's the law of the land, and that's the way it is, okay? Now, you know, I'll make somewhat of a joke of this, all right? Tomorrow, if they banned abortion in the United States and Roe versus Wade was overturned, each individual state would vote on it. You might get six states that would probably vote to ban abortion. But you know what happened? Greyhound would run the abortion special, and Tom Baudette would leave the light on, and the problem would be solved.
Well, I know, but I can imagine there are a lot of women listening to that prescription for the possibility of abortion law or abortion availability and be pretty alarmed. But, Russ, we take your point. Let me get Richard to say to respond.
I agree with what Russ is saying. We should be leading. Our leading issues should be the economy, you know, and getting people back to work and doing the things that are necessary for small businesses and entrepreneurs to feel comfortable and confident creating jobs. That's what we should be, you know, that those should be our issues. The debt crisis, the $16 trillion in debt we have right now as a country, should be a huge issue that every Republican, you know, has common ground on, and that we use to, you know, getting our country's finances back in order, that, you know, is something that we use to, you know, bring people into our party.
But Richard, let me ask you a question that I sort of posted on Facebook, and I know it's sort of out there, but I have to ask it. Do you need, as someone who embraces conservative Republican fiscal issues, but is sort of a moderate on social issues, do you need a new party in the Northeast, a new Republican party?
No, you know what? I think that we need to return to our roots. And, you know, again, historically, the Republican Party always has been the party. We were a party formed on the basis of equality and treating people equally and fairly under the law. You know, from the time our party was formed all through the history of the country, whether it was the women's suffrage movement or the civil rights movement. And I think we just need to go back to our roots on issues like that. And again, we're the party that's saying that individuals should make their own choices, that the government shouldn't be dictating to people what they can do and what they can't do in their personal lives. And that's what we always stood for as a party, but yet, you know, over the last decade or two, we've become a party that's trying to, you know, legislate morality. And I think that that's, you know, that's not a good place for us to be right now. We should stick to the economic issues, stick to the issues of taxes, the size of government, and things like that. That's what will attract Massachusetts voters to our party.
Stephen?
Well, you know, a lot of what you say is true, Richard, but I don't like the way words are redefined. I don't think we're trying to legislate morality. I think we're trying to protect the life of innocent children, and I think that's something that we as a party have always stood up for. Remember, 3 million less Republicans came out to vote nationwide this time than voted for John McCain, and there's a reason underlying that, and I think the reason might have something to do with the fact that there was a flip-flop on positions. And maybe the people just weren't motivated to vote. We thought more Republicans were going to come out to vote. They didn't. But I would say that if you elect legislators, you want them to have a certain morality. And I think that morality sometimes is enhanced by the fact that they're willing to protect life and stand up for life. I think it's an important issue. And I think we should not move away from that.
We've got to wrap the conversation up there. But Richard, to say before I let you go, we're very grateful that you came on to talk to us about this. Are you going to run again?
We'll see. I'm going on vacation for a while.
Well, I don't think anyone listening would deny you that. You deserve that. So enjoy your vacation, and we'll talk to you when you get back.
Thank you very much.
That's Richard Desai. He's a Republican, served in the legislature for 26 years. Last week he came within a point of being elected in the 6th Congressional District. And Stephen Aylward, Vice President of the Massachusetts Republican Assembly, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. Stay with us. Coming up, how college stress can lead to meltdown. We have the story of one MIT student who nearly buckled under the pressure. Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks with Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.